Dr. Henderson. Have things changed much in those 21 years, or is it still much the same as far as views on the sensitive issue of race?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we don't have a lot of good data on the state to go back and say, okay, we can look at the specific numbers and say people thought this in 1996, for example. But you know, the kinds of things that you yourself mentioned a moment ago that underlie a lot of these kinds of opinions and perceptions, the facts that our city, our parish, our state, there's a lot of residential segregation. There's a lot of segregation in schools. Again, this is not, you know, Jim Crow era legally mandated, but nonetheless, we live in communities with actually very little overlap in a lot of cases. And if those kinds of environments underlie different experiences, different perceptions, then I would absolutely expect that the opinions we see today are probably not that different from the opinions you might have seen 20 years ago in this community.
You went off to school in the Boston area, and presumably people in the Northeast are more progressive on these measures, but sometimes we find out that to be otherwise. Did you find a huge difference or no difference between the regions in which you have lived?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a great amount of difference across regions and, you know, what people say and what people think, and, you know, certain areas might lean more this way or lean more that way. But in terms of some underlying facts, it's true that Boston as well is a city, despite its, you know, storied history, despite it being generally a progressive-leaning city, there's a lot of residential segregation in Boston, as there is in most cities in America. That is not strictly a Baton Rouge phenomenon. That's a phenomenon across the U.S., and it's a phenomenon we're actually seeing more of, particularly in the overlap between race and income. We're increasingly seeing poorer minorities and wealthier whites separated more and more from each other.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Still time to get in with Dr. Henderson from LSU's Public Policy Research Lab, but question from a listener relating to the mayor's race last year. Both the victor, Sharon Weston Broom, and her dispatched opponent in the runoff, Bodie White, they both in a debate indicated, and they named names, people of different races of which they were very close to. But the listener notes that that's not really the case for most people in our community. I would suspect that most whites, I think the listener is right, Skip, you're right about most whites don't have any close black friends in our community, and most blacks don't have any really close white friends. But when we're segregated to the point we are, is that any surprise?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. Again, there's anecdotal, you know, stories that are contrary to that. Folks that are involved in public service at the levels of the candidates that ran for mayor president of East Baton Rouge last year are more likely to be interacting with different folks. But yeah, on average, you know, the average person that lives in, you know, let's say, you know, White Oak Landing versus the average person that lives, you know, on Mohican, they're just not going to be around a lot of friends and neighbors on a day-to-day basis of people of a different race. That's just the way our community is set up now. Is we tend to have a high degree of separation in our social ties. And when that happens, two things can happen. It means that people might be having different experiences from each other, but perhaps an even more important factor is we may not even know what those experiences are across groups. And that, I think, can be a significant problem if we're not aware of the experiences and the perceptions of other communities because we don't see them and experience them or hear about them. That can lead us to have a very different opinions about public policy, about what the needs are, how things might change. And that can be that gap in to where we're seeing the world as sort of two different worlds. I think that's, to me, that's troubling about the possibilities of how we can move forward in the future.
But it's going to be something that will take time and effort to change. Even the neighborhoods around Louisiana State University are largely segregated. So how do we change that if we rarely encounter people of other races?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's one, unfortunately, I don't think we have a good answer to. One of the things that was most alarming to me in this survey was we asked people to say whether or not they thought the country as a whole has made the changes needed to give blacks equal rights with whites, or whether or not changes still need to be made, or, in fact, if they thought too much change had been made. And among whites in the state, 37% said the changes have been made, but 19% said too much change has been made on that front. So together, that means a majority of whites, 56%, think we've gone at least far enough, whereas 86% of blacks say we haven't made these changes yet. So you have a majority of whites saying, yeah, we've done everything we need to, and in fact, some saying we've done too much, and a majority of blacks saying, no, we haven't finished the journey yet. And to have majorities on either side like that, not even seeing the world in the same place, I think creates big problems trying to get where we might want it to be. There might be great agreement mm-hmm. about where we think it should be, but if we're not even seeing the state of the world in the same way, it's going to be hard to develop a map of consensus to get us there.
Now, tomorrow, if things go according to plan, we're slated to hear from State Representative Denise Marcel, who ran for mayor, C. Denise Marcel, and I'm sure she can give a perception about the people she represents who are north of Florida Boulevard, and that seems to be the dividing line. There's one world on one side of Florida Boulevard and another on the other side.
That's right. You can just almost trek Florida Boulevard, you know, from all the way out on the eastern end of the parish as you move into the city, closer and closer to downtown. And it's true. You just have a, at least within the city limits area and then southeast Baton Rouge, it's very, very different socioeconomic situations, very different racial and ethnic demographics. It's not to say that there aren't patches here and there on either side, but even then, those patches tend to be pretty separated from surrounding communities as well.
Well, Dr. Henderson, this is something that some people find uncomfortable. It's a revelation that is not surprising, but some say all it does is open up old wounds. How do you respond to that?
You know, I think it's fair to say this is uncomfortable. I think that's fair. And in fact, we know it's uncomfortable. We know that some of the people that answered the survey, you know, told us that, you know, it took a little bit of effort for them to talk about this. We know some of our callers on this survey felt uncomfortable about calling on it. This is an uncomfortable topic. But that doesn't mean it's not an important topic. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be aware of what's out there. It might be uncomfortable to hear. I wouldn't say this opens up old wounds. I would say this shows us that those wounds are here and already open. Having a poll about them doesn't reopen them. The data show that they're open, they're there. The question is, how do we move forward? And our hope with this survey is we could at least get a baseline roadmap. Where are we? How do different communities think about these issues? If we're going to try to make progress, we've got to at least understand where we all stand, what we all see.
All right. Another listener notes that 26 years ago, David Duke, who, of course, was head of the Ku Klux Klan at one point in his life, got more than 50%, about 55% of the white votes in a race for governor. That shows something. But have we changed in 26 years? I'm assuming we've changed some, but I'm also assuming that a lot of those people who voted for Mr. Duke are still out there and would vote for him again if he were not such a tarnished candidate as he is now. Another listener, John in New Road, says we have very different communities of color. There is no singular black or white viewpoint. That's something that I think we may oversimplify. That certainly there is disparity in individual communities among whites and blacks about race.
That's true. There are some differences. Now, in Louisiana, in terms of we have a lot of diversity in the state, but it's diversity of a very particular kind. There are relatively small populations as share of the total population of racial or ethnic groups beyond sort of the big two in the state, white and black. But yes, there is diversity among black opinion. There is diversity among black communities. We found, for example, we asked individuals how much have they personally experienced discrimination because of their race in their life. And we found even among blacks, there's pretty big differences. Higher socioeconomic blacks with higher levels of education were more likely to say that they've personally experienced discrimination than blacks in with less education or lower household incomes. There are gender gaps among blacks as well. So there are differences, but we got to be careful not to overstate that too much. There's always exceptions. There's always anecdotes we can point to. But this data shows that there's a fair amount of consensus among the black community about the state of race relations. No, it does not mean that every individual of a certain demographic group thinks the same way as everyone else in that demographic group. But there is a tendency, and that tendency in this case points to divisions between blacks and whites.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Dr. Michael Henderson, Director of the LSU Public Policy Research Lab.